Hi, this is Obiora Obi-Wan, and you're listening to the Life of Testimony podcast.
Through life, this is the life of power.
Hey, I'm sure you're excited to know whom I've got on the other side of my table here. That's if you can see me, but I know you can hear me. So I have another guest, a young lady who has an amazing testimony. Her name is Hephzibah. I hope I pronounced that right.
Yes.
Hephzibah Frances Okoro. Well, Bible students would know the name Hephzibah, you know, and Hephzibah means...
the delight of the Lord.
The delight of the Lord. Hephzibah, you're welcome to the Life of Testimony podcast.
Thank you.
I hear
Thank you for having
applause
me.
In the air.
it's good to be here.
Let's get to know you. Who is Hephzibah? I mean, what does she do? What does she like?
Okay. Well, Hephzibah is a child of God.
Okay.
So, the more mature you get spiritually, the more God takes you backwards. So, basic identity is I'm a child of God.
Okay.
And what I do professionally, I'm a lawyer, but sometimes I forget that I'm a lawyer. So, I lead two women ministries, the Women at the Well and the Deborah Generation, and run a faith-based organization for teen girls and youths, AYC Africa, which is basically to, we're not your regular NGO. We just want to put in revival fire into youths and teen girls. And I run a business, Beautiful Fit Publishing, where we help authors get published. Authors with the message of good news, you know, like Isaiah 52:7 says, which I am myself. I'm an author myself. And we want authors who would write what is on the heart of the Father.
Okay.
So we help them bet their dreams from idea to reality. Yeah.
Amazing. So there's the ministry helping women, teens, youth, and you also write books.
Yeah.
You've published like how many books now?
13.
Up to 13 books. Amazing. And you also help others publish.
Yes, I do.
Amazing, amazing. All this. And Hephzibah, she's a young lady. She's just...
Early 20s.
She wants it to be early 20s. She's in her mid to late.
Actually, still young.
20s. That's the millennials, right?
Yeah, 1990.
Well.
Should be.
I'm so happy to have you here. But I mean, you know, you, one listening to you, you know, identifying yourself as a child of God, you know, speaking about, you know, ministries and all that. I mean, how did you get into that? Perhaps someone introduced you to that, or is your hustle, or, I mean, how did you just get so passionate? And, you know, the first thing, and that strikes me, the first thing you introduce yourself as is a child of God. Is it just because you attend church anyway? So,
no.
Or because you feel this is like a faith-based show, so you just have to. So, what makes you a child of God?
I had to be delivered from the orphan spirit. So there's something called the orphan spirit, which is you can be a believer but not really know that you're a child of God. Mm. And for me, coming from a background of my parents' divorce, and the Holy Spirit literally had to trace where I started dealing with rejection issues from, which is from my parents splitting. And he showed me the scene of when my mom came to my secondary school. I was about 9 years and said she had to leave the house. Now, it wasn't her fault, but my young brain interpreted it as kind of like rejection. And I started to deal with abandonment issues. So when I got born again, that got carried over into my relationship with God, where sometimes I won't feel like he's good to me. Maybe he's good to other persons, you know, going through wilderness seasons and just thinking, okay, maybe God is good to other people. But to me, when it comes to me, he doesn't do anything good, you know, for me.
Mm.
And I had an encounter where during prayer, the Holy Spirit just poured out upon me and I started to declare, I'm a child of God. Mm. I have a father.
Amazing.
We have history together.
So the first thing I'm picking for you, from you right now, and for anybody listening, I mean, if you've ever felt rejected, you're not, you know, sure of yourself, you know, where you belong or who you are, I mean, there is like open arms waiting for you where you can find your value and find your worth.
Yeah.
Right back in your creator. So so really nobody should be an orphan, so to say.
That was healing. You it's know. Healing for amazing. A lot of people. For me it was.
Amazing.
It still is.
Beautiful. And I hope people just, you know, find their identity in their creator as they listen to you. So clearly you've had, I mean, you've just told us one encounter with God. Anyway.
Life is full of encounters.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's what this show is about. So we're excited to have you here. And so one thing must have led to the other. But before you discovered, you know, your creator God, and God became so real in your life that you were, first of all, identify yourself, you know, as his child. What was your life like? What was life like for you?
So because it's interwoven throughout my life, I've already spoken about the divorce. So my parents were pretty regular, you know, folks. My mom and dad, we grew up in a Christian home. My mom knew the Lord, my dad knew the Lord, so they take us to church and all that. But I wasn't born again, and I don't think any of my siblings were born again.
Okay.
And then my parents split, and that began a journey of sorts. So from parents splitting, everything that started happening in my life started from that divorce. You know, now that I really think about it, things just went haywire from there. So then I encountered pornography, started masturbating, got into lesbianism for a while, tried to find love in relationship with guys, tried to hold down a marriage, maybe as to compensate for my mom not, you know, it seemed like a stigma that, oh, my mom wasn't able to stay in a marriage, so maybe I had to prove that I could be in one. And
okay, so you even got married at a point.
I didn't get married, any guy that spoke to me about marriage was in, you know, just mentioned the word that, oh, I love you, or, you know, I'm going to marry you. It was just everything, you know, and finally ended up with a guy who I think he saw right through the insecurities. So it would have fights. Sometimes he would say, oh, your mom couldn't keep a marriage and you too, you're not able to keep your relationship. It's that same thing that is doing you, you know, so just went round in circles still from that basic foundation of not having a family together, which affects children more than people.
And it's and it's beautiful that you're, you know, from hindsight you can identify, I mean, these things and, you know, the foundation of it. But you know how it is. For some of us that weren't, it's not like we're born again now. We know, just at a point in time we had an encounter with God and, you know, our lives changed and we started living for him. But I can imagine, what was it like then? You probably felt you were living your best life.
Exactly.
And, you know, and what was it like when someone would mention God to you? And
okay, you so know, the funny and strange thing with my story is that I actually loved God. So I wasn't born again, but I grew up in a Christian home and I knew that there was a God, right? And then I remember when I was 9, before my mom left the home, while I was waiting to get into secondary school, there was a stint of waiting where I read the Bible for the first time. And I loved books then, So I read the Bible to the Genesis up onto David's story, you know, and I had those like basic storybook in my mind,
in your mind, okay,
in my head. And then when I was in just three, I remember how, I don't know why, but I just wanted to get baptized, immersion into water, because there was classes in our church, Anglican church. Then my dad was even like, oh, I should wait for a while. But I just had this like, I didn't know him, but yeah. I was just like, I want to get baptized. Like, I want to be baptized. I want to come in. It seemed like coming into know God then.
So what happened? What, you know, between then, between then. So where was the, when, you know, like all of a sudden, you know, God didn't have a significance in your life and you just wanted to live your life? And
well, first of all, I didn't know that there was something like a relationship with God, right? Okay. So even though my heart was hungry and had these things like reading the Bible and then becoming baptized, I didn't know that there was a different life from what I had, if I may, where God is literally like a path of your life, where it's a relationship.
Okay.
In school then, we used to go to Catholic church. I don't think I ever heard an altar call. I don't think we were ever taught like there is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
So how were you able to, because you mentioned you got into some habits as a result, you know, there was pornography, there was you know, generally sexual perversion, lesbianism, and all that, you know. So how were you able to, you know, rationalize that with your knowledge of God?
So I got to a breaking point in this relationship where the ex-boyfriend would say your mom couldn't have a marriage, so things were that bad. And I got to a breaking point where I ended up having two abortions, and there was no joy, there was no joy in my life. I felt like a nobody. I didn't have self-esteem. Mm. And I felt like the relationship was the best that I could do. But at the same time, now what I now know as God, the Holy Spirit, just kept, you know, I kept having these questions, like, really, like, is this really all there is to life?
Yeah, like you, is like this, it was like you got to the end of yourself,
like,
and
the
all
end?
The, you know, trying to, like, you know, help yourself and, you know, live your life and get into things you thought that would make you have some sense of worth and living. So you got to the end, like, where you were like tired of that. Just
And I just had those questions, like, is this really the best I can do? Is this the best God has for me? So God again came into the equation, like, God, like, is this really the best? Because I'm less than 20 years old and all this stuff have happened. And now I'm in this relationship where there's no joy, there's no laughter, there's no, I feel like nothing. So is this the best? You know, and I just started asking those questions in my mind.
And then what happened?
And then one night I was quarreling with this ex-boyfriend again, and then he used to just go into some mad rage, and we're quarreling about something so foolish, you know, some stupid whether he's cheating or not, a text I'd seen, just something stupid. And all of a sudden the foolishness of my situation hits me, and I sat there on the floor and I was like, you know, I had these questions in my mind all through, but I said, God, this night is a breaking point. You have to let me know if you want me to be in this relationship or not. You have to tell me, you know. I didn't know it then, but I was living at the scripture that says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So my heart, I was crying. There was, you know, cat running down my nose. I was just like, God, I didn't even know God could speak to a person. But I don't know what just possessed me. I was like, you have to tell me this night if you want me to stay in this relationship or not, then you have to speak. I didn't hear a voice. There was no voice, but there was like first time I ever felt the arms of God wrapped around me. And I felt this love and strength at the same time.
In the midst of
him sitting behind me, my ex-boyfriend.
Exactly, and going through that, like, heartbreak and whatever such contracts. I'm just trying to paint the picture.
Yes.
Such contracts in all that stress and emotional turmoil and heartbreak. You felt these arms of love and strength.
And then
tell us more about it.
To stand up and say no more. Amazing. I wasn't able to do that before. Like, before, if would argue or quarrel, I'd end up coming back. He knew that. He knew that I would be the one who would apologize and all. But it was just the strength. So I didn't have a typical salvation story like, God, I give my life to you. But in that moment of encounter, there was also an impulse of love for Jesus. So all of a sudden, I wanted to know who this man was. Because in that love, I felt accepted. Before, I had felt like, I don't know if God would have me because I'd had abortions. But in that arms, I felt love. I felt there was no question that he would accept me.
Come on now.
No question. It all of a sudden, it just seemed like those thoughts vanished. And then it was replaced with, I want to know Jesus. So I'd go to church 7 times a day. I was like, wow. David. Wow. I was glad when they said to me, go to the house of the Lord. Wow. There was just a different hunger. And nobody preached to you. Nobody preached to me. I have been going to church.
I can imagine.
I was actually in fellowship. Same, you remember the love for God I said. So when I got into university, they were some persons who drew me to NIFEST then. So I was actually going to fellowship when I met this boyfriend.
Okay.
But I didn't have...
So there was a fellowship and there was the relationship with the boy.
Yes.
You know, and all those things you talked about still going on and all that. Yes.
But this time after that encounter, there was a difference.
Yeah.
There was relationship with God. I don't know why I keep coming back. There was relationship with God. Like, I knew that Jesus is real. He's a person. He's here with me. And I could talk to him. It was just different. Whereas, you know, where I'd go to fellowship before and just normal, you know, read the Bible, fellowship with believers. Now it was like he was with me.
Beautiful. Awesome. That sounds amazing. And as you're saying it, I just hope that anyone who's looking for significance out there, and, you know, wondering if this is all, you know, just, you know, going on like that. And, you know, who knows that there is more, you know, to their life. And I hope, you know, as they're listening to you, that they'll open their heart and, you know, begin to experience this relationship. And I know, because I know you, I know that there you have so many testimonies, you know, and all the stuff that led you. But I want to know, led you to where you are and the ministries you are.
Oh, okay.
You know, where you're serving God in right now. But I want to know what how your relationship with Jesus, which started, I'm sure it grew over the years. How did that relationship affect the things that you mentioned that you struggled with? You know, there was pornography, there was masturbation, you even mentioned lesbianism, you know, and there was fornication generally, right? Yeah. So, what impact did that relationship start having?
Everything. So the fornication, sex before marriage, wasn't hard to cut off because I just discovered that when God brings you into radical love with Jesus, it's just hard for you to want to do anything that hurts him. I mean, you may try it once and then you realize... this just hurts him.
And this hurts the relationship with Jesus when you have a real relationship that is intimate with him.
Yes.
So how did you know that it hurts the relationship?
Because I fell twice again. So after those slip-ups, there was one time, two times, but the second time I cried right there. The guy was looking at me. And he was like, what's wrong with this one? And like, you know, tears, real tears. And I'll go home and sit in the toilet and cry. I'm like, not because anybody was even preaching to me. That's the funny thing about it. It was just that on the inside of me, I knew that Jesus wasn't happy and that this was creating a barrier and a blockade between me and him.
And
so funny enough, if you look at my journals from those years, you see some things like, you know, New Year resolution, God help me to stay in purity this year.
To stay in purity.
Yes, I don't want to have any sex with anybody. Mm. You know, and God just help me. It used to be a prayer point then, twice, two times. But, and he helped me. So from 2012 till now, Nothing.
Exactly. I'm sure it's no longer a prayer point. So God answers those prayers and that yearning to really love Him and, you know, remove everything that comes in between, you know, the relationship. Like I said, I mean, there's so much. Testimonies are already like hitting us left, right, and center. But there's a particular encounter you have in your heart that you wanted to share with us. Yeah. Let's hear it.
I wanted to share on the deliverance that God gave me from the effects from the lesbianism. So first of all, for people who maybe gave their life early to Christ, where they had not made a lot of mistakes, you know, somehow, even though all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, like, but physically they've not made some mistakes that some of us did and found out that there were deeper consequences that we knew that they had. So, for example, the pornography and masturbation, I realized I couldn't set myself free by myself. So for someone who had not had that kind of experience before coming to Christ, you may not know the reality of just crying over and over again and say, God, deliver me from this, right? I love you, but I can't save myself. Please save me. God delivered me from that. But the one for the lesbianism is pretty peculiar because the lesbianism happened in my secondary school. 1 year and didn't happen again, but the effects ended up lasting for I got to find that like 11 years later that sin actually does have consequences but Jesus delivers us out of
them, the consequences
of the consequences. So in my secondary school, looking back now, I can see that because I had this hole and void for love, anybody who wanted an entrance to me just had to play the love game. And that was the way it was with one of the girls who had come into my life and started from just, oh, you know, let's be friends. I like you. I love you. And that had never happened throughout my years in university, in secondary school. Even though I was brilliant and all, I'd always wondered why people would receive gifts on Valentine's Day and I wouldn't get. Maybe I'm not fine enough. Maybe I'm not, you know, beautiful enough.
Identity.
You know? Yeah, identity. So when this started happening, it was just like on the inside of me, I had felt, you know, like, wow, you know, oh, and she was a happening girl. So, wow, even though I was brilliant, I wasn't part of cliques and all that. So, but it started innocently enough from just reading together, buying food and all. And then I fell ill. And during the feeling sick and all, which is a crazy thing, she started touching me. And I remember bits and pieces of her actually touching me and crying, which meant that she probably may have even felt love, you know. And maybe that was an expression of her love in the midst of my sickness. That's why it's so sick. But anyway, I got well, came back to school, and it just picked up from there and became a normal thing between us. Till we both graduated from secondary school a year later. And for me, the lesbianism didn't happen again. I wasn't a lesbian. It was lust and naivety. But anyway, I give my life to Christ and I'm going along in Christ. Like
happy. Okay, so later, like when you had to come out from secondary school. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Come out from secondary school, 2011, I'm now born again. And even before becoming born again, I didn't have any stint with lesbianism after that 1 year stint.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm happy, I'm joyful, I'm going around just thankful for God, in love with God. And then all of a sudden, 2017, God starts to speak to me about marriage. And I'm praying about it. And I start to have those dreams of seeing myself back in my secondary school where the lesbianism happened. And this is 11 years later. And I'm wondering what's going on here, you know. So in that dream, I'll be in a dormitory and staying back in the dormitory. I know I'm not supposed to be there. So what am I doing here? I didn't understand it so well at the start, but it would reoccur a few times over 2018 and 2019. So 2019, something happened and I had a lost dream, like perversion dream. And I woke up, I'm like, Jesus, why is this still playing out in my life? I'm now in you and I don't have anything in the physical. I'm not having anything to do with these things anymore. Mm. So I don't belong to them. Why is this still coming on? And Jesus was, you know, he was emphatic about the fact that he who the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. You are not under bondage to anything. You are free. First of all, before that time, I had a vision where I saw this whole lesbian thing, and I was trying to close my door, my room, from seeing, you know, those acts. And the person left and came to me and started mocking and laughing at me. And God gave me a scripture in that vision where he said that, 2 Corinthians 5:7, that if anyone be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
5:17. Yeah.
So what the enemy was really trying to do was to try and corrupt this newness, this new life I had in Christ, because the past had foundations that had to be dealt with, essentially. So Jesus said, no, you are free. You are not under bondage. He who the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. And then he says, but I'm going to tell you what to do. So then to enforce that victory and enforce that word. So he says, for the next 7 days, pray in the spirit, pray in tongues, 12 midnight, every of those nights. So 6 days I prayed in tongues, but on the seventh day, I just didn't feel like, so I just danced and praised God that night. And that was one of the real encounters where I knew that praise is actually powerful, you know. And the next day I had a vision where Jesus walks into this dormitory along with me, prays for me, anoints me. And there were still the presence of, you know, darkness and evil trying to say, you're not going to step out of this place. And then I heard his voice saying, I shall feed those who oppress you with their own flesh. They shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. So all flesh may know and consider that I, the Lord your God, am your redeemer.
Amazing. You heard that in your dream.
Yes.
And that's in Isaiah 49.
Yes.
So the same dormitory that was, where this act occurred, that, you know, started coming back in your dreams, you know, as an adult, you know, taking you back to that thing that probably was like unsettled, you know. You now found, you know, Jesus coming, you know, I'm recounting, you know, Jesus coming into your dream and giving you that word to deal with whatever, you know, demonic oppression that you were battling with.
Just saying.
Amazing.
You wouldn't be oppressed, and the enemy cannot, will not be allowed to hold your past against you.
So there is power in, you know, you heard the instruction. So there was power in the fasting, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned fasting.
Fast and
the praying that you did for some time, which, you know, like, you know, opened that door for you to, you know, get that visitation. Yeah. Tell us more about this.
And I've learned that the miracle is in the obedience.
Okay.
So sometimes we quote the scriptures, right? And it's like Joshua 6, where God tells Joshua, I've given you the land. And then he says, now I'm going to tell you what to do to enforce what I've already given to you in the spiritual.
Yeah.
And sometimes in among believers, among the world, basically, and sometimes people also use this to mock Christians and say, oh, if your word says this, how come this is not happening? There's a discrepancy sometimes between the instruction and the doing of it.
Okay.
So there's the word, and there's the do this to enforce the word, and it becomes flesh.
Awesome. So was that where the dream ended? And perhaps you tell us, and then what was the effect after the dream?
So I woke up and the Holy Spirit said to start to pray with that scripture. So I started with the whip, which is the sword of the Spirit, the word I had heard in the dream. I woke up and he said, pray with that. And I started to pray with that, you know. No one shall oppress me anymore. God is going to feed my oppressors with their own flesh and they shall drink their own blood, which is such a warfare scripture.
Yes, it's a serious spiritual warfare.
And so I woke up praying that scripture, the Holy Spirit just poured out upon me and God said, take communion, take his flesh and take his blood and declare it's a new day. This is a new seal on this new day and you are not going to be held under that any longer. And that was the end. I knew that I was free. I knew. And it has never happened again. I've never seen that dormitory in my dreams anymore. And it really got me short for words. And, you know, sometimes people can get saved. And sometimes when people preach, give your life to Christ, and people reject that offer for salvation, you really don't understand what salvation means. Like, these are, there are things that you can't save yourself from. It has to be Jesus. It has to be him. So salvation is
some bondages and, you know, some things that, you know, they're not good for you. They're not helping you. You know, so you need a real power.
He has to come in as the savior. He has to come in. So anywhere you hear, if someone is out there listening right now and you've heard the call for salvation before and just like, oh, this born again people, it's being born again is actually powerful. It's powerful. Very powerful. You can't, I couldn't have gone in there by myself. There was no way that I, Hephzibah, could have walked in 11 years back in time. And that's where God says he's the God of time. He's the God of time. He knows what is in the past. He's in the past. He's in the now. He's in the future. Only God can go back in time.
To fix that.
To fix stuff that has happened in your life.
In your foundation.
So when he says, the old things have passed away, all things have become new, that's because he actually has the power to make all things pass away and all things become new.
Amazing.
It's a miracle.
So whatever you're battling with right now, you know,
it can become
whatever
new.
That is an issue, whether, you know, spiritual or, you know, you feel your life is not going right, or what you will think that your life is going right, we all need a savior, you know. Because if I'm to recount your story, there are some things deposited in your background, you know, and many times, we all come into this world, we don't choose our parents, don't choose where we're born into and whatever, and God knows that, and I believe that's why he gave us a savior, but we choose. It's our responsibility to say, okay, I mean, there's no God, let's just keep going on, and let's just, or to say, okay, there could be a life better than, you know, what I'm living. And then, and just like you, at the point in time, I'm like, this life thing, why just they do by myself?
Exactly.
You understand? Struggling to make it, and this life thing, why just they do by myself? Make I give Jesus a try.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it wasn't because, you know, so yes, at times it helped because there was a foundation that your parents into, you know, but when I found myself that, you know, I could either continue pushing, you know, and trying to do life by myself and what I think is enjoyment. And when I found myself doing that, and then the option that I could actually find out why I was created and what my purpose is, and there's no way I can find it out until I go to my maker. And so I started asking myself, how do I get to him? You know, then I started questioning, you know, the thoughts, you know, and, you know, what I've heard about faith. And, you know, I'm like, okay, let me give Jesus a try, and then boom, that was when my life just, you know,
answer.
Just turned around. So if there is anybody here, you know, anybody listening to us right now who's under one oppression or the other, there is, I feel you should pray. I'm not sure we've done that in this show before, but I think you should pray for anybody who's under one bondage or the other. It could be depression, pornography, anything you mentioned, whatever is a weight, because, you know, this is life and there are weights. I mean, there are even people who are born again, you know, just like you mentioned, you know, but there was something in the foundation that hadn't been fixed, and Jesus went back, you know, took you back to get that sorted out. And that is the life of testimony. So I'd like you to say prayer in 2-3 minutes for any such persons right now.
Yeah, so I'm going to share with you a scripture. It's Isaiah 35, where it says that, "Be strong, do not fear, surely your God will come and save you." And if you're born again or if you're not born again, before I pray, I just want you to know, and I actually want you to cry out where you are and just from the depth of your heart, just say, "Lord Jesus, save me." He hears you. And I'm going to pray that, Lord, that you reach forth and stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand to that soul that is in pain right now. So many hurts, oh God. So many hurts. So many hurting. So many hurting. So many being oppressed. So many who just need you to deliver them from the yoke and the bondage of the tax master. You said, God, that when a strong man guards a house, it has to take a stronger man to bind that man and lose the goods from his house. You are the stronger man.
Mm-hmm.
We are powerless against the strong man. So we ask you and we release you, Lord Jesus, to go into the life of everyone listening right now as the stronger man. We release encounters of deliverance in their lives, oh God. Amen. We release dreams and visions in Amen. The nighttime Amen. That emphasizes to them that their God has come to save Amen. Them. Father God, we just cry out Amen. On behalf of the one who has no words right now, but their hearts are just being lifted up to Amen. You and saying, God, and come true for me.
Come through, God.
We pray that you will come true
come
for
through
them.
Now.
I pray for come encounters
now.
With
right now.
Your nearness, with right intimacy now. Of Jesus right now, where
right
you
now.
Are, that
right
you
now.
Just begin to feel the
Amen.
Tangible
right
presence and
yes.
tangible reality
yes.
of the Lord Jesus all around you.
Yes.
You will know that he has walked
yes.
in, that he has come, that his hands are on
yes.
you. Be strong and do not fear. Surely your God will come and he will save you. He has come to save you. He has come to save you. I want you to look up. Jesus has come and he has come to save you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I keep hearing we release encounters.
Mm.
We release encounters for anyone who's struggling with their faith. We release encounters. Encounters do not need explanation. Encounters do not need to be explained. Encounters do not need to be explained. It is not a word that is preached from a man. It is the Lord Jesus Christ coming to you by himself, that even if you want to doubt, you cannot doubt. It is what your eyes have seen, your ears have heard, your heart has understood. And we release encounters. If there's anyone who's an atheist listening to this show and just say that, I want to just hear what they are saying and what they are talking about, because you heard the life of the Spirit of God is flowing through to you right now, and the encounters of the Lord has come to you.
Amen.
Your eyes shall see, your
Amen.
Ears shall hear, your heart shall understand. Is the Lord Jesus himself coming to you?
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that,
Amen.
Folks, is the life of testimony, where we bring you real people with real stories of real encounters with God. I have no doubt you've had an encounter just listening to this podcast with Hepzibah Okoro Francis. Yeah, so on the post, we're going to leave behind links to her ministry and her social media handles and what she does. So check that out or hit us up on Instagram to find that out. Till I come your way next time, thank you, Frances.
Thank you so much for
having me. Thank you for listening. Send us your testimony. Send us your testimony. Send us an email. Send us a DM on social media. We'd like to hear what God did for you in this broadcast. Keep listening. Listen to the next episode. This is Obiora Obi-Wan, and you're listening to the Life of Testimony podcast.
That's all for this episode. If you enjoy what you just heard, you can share with friends and family. Also, you can head over to any of your app stores and install the Jammy app and never miss a thing. That's all for now. See you on the next episode.